This is CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man and Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. I'm nervous. I am. I'll admit it. I'm a little nervous today. It's a little different. I don't know. You know, people come up with these ideas that, like, you know, let's do this shit, and you're like, yeah, let's do it. How's about we flip the script? And yeah, and I agree to these things because you know, I think that, you know, and also it's mostly because you guys send me all types of emails and messages talking about when are we gonna hear you. When are we going to hear what you have to say about some shit? And I always thought that I did. I always thought that I was always in the studio here letting you guys know what I think. Every time people said stuff, I told them what I felt about stuff. But obviously, it's not enough. So yeah, here we are. G-Man the Ad Man. And today, the script is hella flipped. You know what? Maybe what we should do is we should introduce Lerato up front. You remember Lerato from last week? She was
no,
here last
tell
week.
Them who I am, how. What if there's okay. New listeners? How? New fans.
Okay, fine. Let's do this right. So last week, I introduced you guys to Lerato. Lerato Ngakane. She does a lot of dope things. You know, she's done a whole bunch of dope things and been in and out of advertising like three or four times, I think. and we had a really dope interview last week. And then I kind of thought, you know, she's done this radio thing before. And she's done this advertising thing before. And I thought, okay, you know what? If there's anybody who's going to do this stuff without getting nervous, you know, because I've also spoken to a couple of other people and some of them were just nervous. And it just said, no. What if I fuck it up? Won't you? but that's cool. So Lerato's in the studio today and she was flipping the script and she's going to be doing the interview with me. I'm pretty much just going to do the intro and I'm going to hand over to her. Like I said, I'm nervous as fuck. But you know what? Did you know what? So, but hit me up, you know, and you can send her your questions for me on Facebook. But you know what? In fact, you know what? Before we get to that, I just want to talk about one ad only.
Yes, let's introduce your show today, G-Man. Oh. Woo, Ad Man. I am going to be interviewing Grant. This is going to be the A to Z guide to Grant. So I want you guys to all look out for it. But please continue with your show. I'm just going to be interjecting now and then with my questions.
Okay. Cool. No, that's cool. The Appetizer ad. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Which one?
It's been on for a while. It's the one that's got Ayanna Tavete. Is it Ayanna Tavete? Yeah, it's got Ayanna Tavete and it's got
is she a slay queen?
It's got no, she's not a slay queen. Is she an actress? Yeah, she was on that show The Rock. I watch too much TV. She was on the show The Rock at some point, and I know she apparently she does like events and stuff, and she's a model and whatever. So Ayanna Tavete is in the ad, and there's, you know, because they've done the spectrum. You know the spectrum they do in ads in order to make sure they don't piss anybody off. There's a black girl, there's a white girl, and there's an Indian / color girl in there. But we'll get to why I'm talking about this. So it's a really cool ad. I mean, it's on if you've got like a DSTV catch up. Plug for no reason. On DSTV catch up, it plays before most of the stuff. And there's Ayanda, and then there's a white girl. I don't know what her name is. And then there's this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
In the ad, and I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like I appreciate the ad for what it is. I mean, it's what Appetizer ads are. You know, it's all about the luxury of the whole thing. But there's the girl in there, I googled her, And I actually went, because I'd seen her somewhere before, and I'd seen her, I remember I'd seen her on a movie, Keeping Up with the Kandasamis. Don't ask me why I watch. She see the look on Lerato's face.
I was like, where is this going? Is this about Ayanda the ad?
No.
Or the girl?
It's about this girl. Okay. Mishka Partipal is her name.
Okay.
My word. Yeah, I should look up. I mean, I just thought.
How was the performance of the ad?
Oh no, the ad was great. Uh-huh. As far as appetizer ads go. Mm. You know what I mean? It was fantastic. Okay. They were drinking shots.
Can we? Yeah. And, let's review this ad. So,
I think what you want to do is you want to go back. Go to YouTube actually. Go to YouTube and check out the appetizer ad. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm just, you know, if this is just my affinity to the fact that I went to an Indian primary school that's coming up out here. That's good. But you know what, just check it out. I think she's really, really cute. So Mishka Partipal, if you're listening, or if anybody ever plays you the podcast, hey, what's up, baby girl? It's G Man, the Ed Man. Hit me up on @FlexM. So on the real though, the show is gonna be autistic. I'm actually gonna hand over to you, Lerato, in a little bit. But hit us up. Hit me up at Blaxem. That's @BLAXEM on Twitter or @CliffCentral.com with your comments or your questions. It's getting me all nervous. I am. You can also hit us up on WhatsApp at 0797482090 with your WhatsApp questions and whatever you got going on. And you know, there's also a beautiful phone number, right? 0861-555-189. You can give us a phone call like the Zwega did last week. And let's have a chat. You know, let's have some conversation. But Lerato, how are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm very nervous. I haven't done the Miss Revolution thing in a minute.
Yeah.
Is that
the name of the character?
That's who I am, babe. Yeah? When I'm on the radio like this interviewing you, I'm Miss Revolution.
Miss Revolution.
Yes, Revolution with no vowels.
That's insane shit. That's insane shit. But where does that come from? Where does that name come from?
No, why are we interviewing me right now?
Oh, okay, sharp. Okay, sharp. Stop. Okay, cool.
But okay, just to introduce Miss Revolution, it was just like I said, with the JMR radio show. It was really.
Tell me what JMR is. What's JMR?
JMR is Josie Maboneng Radio.
Okay.
And it was like an internet radio station that we had going like a couple of years ago. 3 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
So I had a show with Brother Millie.
Shout out, Millie. What's going on? What's going on, boy?
And yeah, we came on and we were playing amazing music, underground, alternative music, and interviewing really amazing people. All about like black businesses, black creatives, just like what's going
on.
Okay,
well, that's cool. Well, I guess, you know, everyone understands, you know, you got the credentials. You got the creds.
Sort of.
So take it away. I mean, it's
your
show.
Here I go.
Kinda.
Here I go. So, Grant, I'm going to be doing an A to Z.
Okay.
Kind of getting to know you.
That makes me nervous.
No.
It seems too structured.
But no, okay, it's not too structured. It's not too structured at all. Actually, the first questions are quite hard hitting because this is where you are at right now.
Okay.
So obviously, A is for Avatar.
Yeah.
How the hell did you
James,
go?
No one is gonna. You're not even gonna like let me
no,
like, settle into the
no.
same thing, are you?
We are going hard. You know what I mean? Like I said, the A to Z just lend itself to the situation.
You do know
so,
we've only got an hour, right?
Right. Let's do it then. Give it to us. So Avatar.
Yeah.
Right. What happened? How did it come about? And now you're joint CD there.
Yeah.
How
ECD? Joint ECD.
ECD, yes.
Let me get it right. Don't get it twisted.
Okay, baby boy. Let's get it right for you. All right. So how did this happen for you? And how long has it been in the making?
Okay, so I mean, I'll kind of take it a little step back. So, I started Avatar actually in the beginning of December, mm-hmm. right? I'd been having chats with the guys with Veli and the guys in that whole group for some time now, mm. You know, because we kind of been throwing the idea around, and I just kind of felt like, you know, that the opportunity came through, and I couldn't say no to it, And yeah, it felt like the right thing to do, and I like the way the guys think. It was, you know, they have a really great ethos about that, believes a lot in entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. And because the guys shout out to the guys at Avatar as Veli and Zbusi, so are quite big entrepreneurs. So kind of we had a couple of chats about kind of what my path wanted to be, alongside my wanting to keep doing the work, you know, because the toughest thing is how far away from the work you get when you become involved in business. And I'm sure that question is coming later as well. But how far from the work you you get to be when you get involved in the business side of it as well. Mm. So it was about striking the balance, essentially. Right. Yeah, and Avatar just presented the right opportunity, and I've loved it ever since. You know, yeah, I'm, like you said, I'm core ECD with Brett Wild. Shout out Brett Wild. What's going on out there? Yeah, and
this guy's blowing his own heart, by the way. I can't reach. Is it too short?
So it's been really cool. It's been an eye-opening adventure that I'm really, really excited about.
What do you think you're going to be bringing into Avatar that they don't have?
So that's yeah, that's actually an easier question than you think. So Avatar has historically been known as a digital agency,
right.
And that's what they've been doing. They've been doing a whole bunch of digital stuff, and a part of the conversation that I had with Veli and with Z was how to essentially not morph but to grow the agency into a through the line offering. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this is something that they'd been toying with for a little bit, and now this is essentially what the agency is becoming. It's becoming a full 360 integrated offering, and I'm tasked with essentially growing that side of the business, both here and in Cape Town. And I mean, we've already done two pitches in that regard, and it feels right. It feels like yeah. I feel like I still got it. Yeah.
Got it. But look, I was actually, this is why I did the A2Z, because like some of the things will actually integrate at
That's
some
right.
point
yeah,
or,
yeah.
or overlap over each other.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I had was the traditional model of advertising right now really focuses on the big idea, which yeah. is traditional. And then you see digital as an extension to the creator.
Right.
Rather than it working the opposite way around.
Yeah.
But now the culture is changing.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the digital age, social media plays a huge role, and most of the people, when you first get in touch with like any campaign,
yeah.
it's normally online.
Yeah.
So how big of a role, or how are we going to shift the power dynamic between digital and yeah. giving it like the upper hand in a way?
Yeah. So
to traditional.
So that's a conversation that we have quite a lot, you mm-hmm. know, because I think that, you know, to kind of separate the idea of the big idea from digital, I think we need to clarify, and I've always been clear about it. Digital is just a medium,
mm-hmm.
and let's not get it twisted. Mm-hmm. You know, just like how people encounter print ads and people encounter TV ads, digital is another medium. So the big idea is never going to die. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have to know what your idea is. And there was a very strange time, I remember, even in Cannes, I think it was the Nike something bot, mm. right? And it was cool. It was a good idea, because essentially runners were seeing tweets that were sent to them while they were running on the road. That's great, but it had an idea.
Mm.
But some people got confused with the technology, thinking right. that the idea was the technology. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And the technology is just an extension of a big idea, just like how digital is an extension of another big idea.
Mm.
You know, so I don't think that we're ever going to get to a time where the big idea is not important.
Mm.
That shit is always it's what we do. You're always going to need an idea. You're always going to need something that your shit is anchored on, in order for us to listen to your shit. Otherwise, that's how you just, you know, you kind of go, you know what's cool? That fucking new song that's out. Mm. And let's put it in our ad and we make black people dance.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Dancing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I get scared. When you say advertising and dancing.
Yeah, I get that's what I mean. What I mean okay. is when people don't want to concentrate on the big idea,
and then
they focus concentrate on the new song.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
then it's just like,
yeah.
like, and I'll make another example. And I feel like I'm talking too much again now.
No, don't.
How F&B just used the Agana Mali track, mm. right? There was an idea. There was an idea where they could have just run with that track in the background and made people, you know, it feels like somebody actually thought about how they're going to execute against mm. that, right? So there's always one phrase in the TV ads I've seen. There's always one phrase in the beginning that's Agana Mali, and then they use the singer again.
Agana
Tata, Agana Six Pack. You know, like you're using you had an idea of the things mm. that people don't have.
Mm.
And that's dope. I feel like you thought about it.
Mm.
If you just, then the Cortina essential.
Okay. B.
Yeah.
Bukone.
Bakone.
Bakone. I always say Bukone.
I don't know why you say Bukone.
Okay, fine. Bakone, right?
Yes,
this was supposed to be like a black boy's magic kind of moment, right?
Yeah.
You guys are like black boys, doing your thing. Bring, you know what I mean? Bring that kind of thing.
Like, I don't know if I like this A to Z thing.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
What happened there? Because this was probably what happened before Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Is this where you were
at? Yeah,
that's
where I was before Avatar. Okay. So I mean, I think I should also give you a bit of background. So before I was there, so I was at FCB.
Leave me alone. That's F.
Cool. So fine, we'll get to F. But like, I was at FCB for a very long time. I was there for like 11 and a half years or something, right? Which is unheard of. I think I want to give myself applause for that.
Yeah, 11 years. Damn.
What,
why?
What's the levels? Come on.
Why?
Because I loved it. I really did. I I always heard people, like every time I was tempted to move, people would tell me what's happening at their agencies. Mm. And you know, it's been tough for black folk in advertising for a while.
You'd
hear that stuff and I'd just kind of go, it's the same mess that I'm going through, right? Mm. So it's just swapping names. And actually, I was actually treated slightly better than what I was hearing.
So it's like better the devil, you know?
A little bit of that. But at the same time, I was happy. I was genuinely happy at FCB. I was happy in all the time that I was there. Mm. And I mean, I grew exponentially in the time that I was there, and I learned a lot exponentially when I was there. I mean, I started out as an intern.
Mm.
I went there from AAA, did my 6-week internship there, and then was there essentially for the rest of it. I went all the way from like intern, because you know, only the white kids started as juniors. Black kids started as interns, but not no more. We are changing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
What director? So I mean, I was there for a very long time, and then I went to Ogilvy for 13 months.
Mm.
We weren't like a great fit, me and Ogilvy. And then I got a phone call from Juice.
That's long term. That's like a year, hey?
Yeah, yeah.
A year and a bit.
Yeah, a year and a bit. Cause you know, I'm that kind of guy, you know. I'm a,
hey, dedicated,
I give things a chance, you know what I mean? That's what I do, you know. Yeah, no, I'm a lifer. I'm a lifer of note. So what I did then is I got a phone call from Juska. Shout out Joe Liberto, what's going on? Yeah. So I got a phone call from him and he knew that I was kind of thinking of making a move. And it was in this entrepreneurial space and all that. And it was exciting at the time. And I was really, I think the word is wantawi. You know, I really just wanted to get away. And at the same time I was inspired by the vision and all that, and like you call it. And it made sense to me, right? So we got in there and it was fantastic. It was really cool. We got to do some really, really iconic shit. Mm. You know, in the little time that I was there.
What's a little time?
It was 16 months.
Sure.
14 months. Yeah, 14, 15 months, yeah. Okay. And in that time, we birthed the What's Your Next campaign, you know, in conjunction with the guys at Island Davenport.
Mm.
We birthed the What's Your Next campaign. And I'm hella proud of that.
You That's know? The coolie work, right?
The coolie work is, you're talking about Absolute. No. What's Your Next? The Standard Bank campaign.
Oh, yes.
The one that was everywhere. The one that was everywhere.
Yes.
So we birthed that, and I'm really, really proud of that, and all the collaborations that we had in making that work.
Mm.
And it was dope. I enjoyed all of it. And then like I mentioned previously, you know, like there comes a time where you're dealing with the stuff you're not supposed to. You're not, as a creative, I felt like I was spending starting to spend a lot of time
on the business
side of things. Mm. You know, and you know what? Even before I started at Bakoni, I was always clear. I was like, you know what, this entrepreneurship stuff is tough for me, you know, because I'm
creative through and through, huh?
You know what I mean? I did a talk in Botswana. Shout out to my Botswana people, what's going on? Oh, you're listening. And one of the guys who spoke, the guy who spoke after me, I had the privilege of listening to, was Mr. Andy Lukumalo.
Mm.
At Power FM. Shout out to Andy Lukumalo. What's going on?
Levels up. I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah. And then what happened is he said after I spoke, he spoke and he said, one of the biggest things about being an entrepreneur is actually you need to be able to understand that maybe you're not an entrepreneur.
Mm.
You know, and it's a fair thing to admit to yourself.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not an entrepreneur yet. Mm. You know, maybe you just haven't grown into it. And a lot of the time people make the mistake of going, I'm technically amazing at what I do. So if you're a good ad man and you can make ads, everyone says to you, why don't you open your own shop? Right?
That's like the next progression, huh?
But it's not actually. Mm, it's not the natural progression because people think that if you're technically amazing, I didn't call myself technically amazing. I'm saying if you're technically good at what you do, you don't necessarily have the acumen to go and stomp pavements and go and look for business. You know, you don't have the acumen and sometimes even the heart to have the diplomatic conversation sometimes, you know. So at some point I felt like the percentages of me sitting down doing the work and me kind of dealing with the politics and then dealing with the shit, that it kind of become warped.
Mm.
So I mean, I discussed it with Juska for quite some time. I mean, Juska cool now. Mm-hmm. You know, he was at my birthday drinks last week.
Shout out to the birthday drinks, which I didn't go to, as
messy as it could have. Don't look at any politics, Lorraine.
Okay, fine.
I'm proud to say that Juska and I are good. Mm-hmm. Because he understood exactly where I'm coming from and why the space is important to me. It's important for me to still get my hands dirty.
And I actually think that the business side of advertising is actually very important.
Yeah.
In order to see the success of like War Z.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we need to get those things right. Absolutely. Otherwise we'll never grow, you know?
Yeah, and part of my journey at Avatar is to kind of get the yards in on the business side. You know what I mean? But with a lot of covering fire. You know, Juska was covering fire, but now I've got a lot of covering fire in my learning process. Mm. So that when I do eventually go at this thing by myself, when it does happen, I've got some of the acumen that I would have gathered in this time. So yeah. Hey, cool, sir. Fine.
We're serious.
Yeah.
Guys, it's serious in the studio. But yeah, we're on D. So, do's and don'ts of an advertising career. So, from the beginning, do I get drunk with a CEO and tell him to fire my boss? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are the do's and don'ts? Like, interns out there are suffering. You know what I mean? Like, for me, especially with the interns, nah,
yeah.
I was at my job. And I was looking for one of the interns, and guess what? They told me that the intern was on leave. I was
like,
how is it that an intern is on leave? Like, I'm so calling, trying to find something. You know what I mean? So what are the do's and don'ts for when you get into an advertising career? What is it that, what kind of impression are you trying to make as a young person?
See, for me, it was always knuckle down and do the work. You know, like it's the easiest way to get noticed is to just do the fucking work, you know? And you know what? They're also like, we're also working in the business of aesthetics. Let's not lie to ourselves, right? So people make a judgment on what they see, right? And if they see you around, if they know that you are always around and you're always doing the work, and it you kind of build in someone's mind the persona of somebody who's willing to do the work. Mm. And look, the alcohol will find you.
As it does.
But I mean, it's about that. It's about kind of. Understanding how you prioritize all those things. Because if you go out and have a big night and it means that you don't come to the office tomorrow, then I don't see you at the office. Then you're that intern that I feel like I say sometimes, there are some people so busy being in advertising they don't do any advertising at all. Then you're that person who's just being in advertising. You know what I mean?
I know a couple of those.
You know what I mean? You know the people I'm talking about.
Guys.
You're living everything that advertising is. You know, you're at the parties. You are at the portfolio bag back in the
Lurie's.
Day. You are at the Lurie's. You know, but nobody knows your work, man. You know what I mean? So I think the don'ts is everything that you hear in every other corporate space, and I use the word corporate very loosely, but I think yeah, man, just do the work. You know what I mean? Just get some work done. We've got two questions actually.
Nice.
From Zay Mwape. That's at Afroscribe1. What's going on, Zay Mwape? What's cutting, sir? And he says, why did you get into the ad space? This is the first question. And the second question is, which side do you enjoy more, pitching or being pitched to? Yay! Yeah.
Nice.
Why did I get into advertising? Look, back in the day, I wanted to go to law school. I'll be straight up. I wanted to go to law school.
We were going
to
be lawyers.
I had every intention of going to law school, and then a couple of things. Then all the things that happened to black kids happened. You know, it was just like, we also know what that's going to cost. You know, and then that became very difficult. But then I also changed my mind about it because it felt like it was going to take too long. And then what I did is I remember that at this was actually in standard 9 or what you guys might know at grade 11. Then I started actually talking to my English teacher about advertising and stuff, because writing was always my thing. And then I found out about AAA. I took a not so planned gap year. Right after high school, and then
what did you do? Where did you go?
I promise you, I hung out in the hood. I was in the hood.
You were that guy.
I played a lot of basketball. It's hard to tell now, but we went between playing basketball and lifting weights and eating a lot. And eating a lot, exactly. Yeah. But in that time, I actually read a lot in that time. Mm. You know, it sounds strange. But you know, like Shakespeare?
Yeah.
The ones that we didn't do for said work?
Yeah.
I read those.
Really?
In that year.
That
shit. Dothil. Yeah. Yeah. So the stuff that wasn't said work. Mm. I read some of those in that time.
Can you quote
amongst
me something?
Other things. No.
Why
no.
not?
Because I think that's shitty. I think people come out and quote Shakespeare as a bit shitty.
Actually, you know what? People back in the day used to do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's back in the day. I think
okay,
it's a bit
yeah,
shitty.
Yeah, we don't have enough memory space yeah. anyway.
We
yeah.
quote Puck. Yeah. Yeah, ask me to quote Puck. But a friend of mine, Sitle Madlala, hooked me up. Reminded me about the fact that I wanted to go to AAA, fill my shit in. And then I got into AAA, and I loved it. It was exactly what I thought it would be. Crazy actually. That's why I met you.
Of course. And then
the rest, as they say, is the proverbial history. And then
question.
Eh?
What was the second question?
Oh, which side do I enjoy more, pitching, or being pitched to? Look, I enjoy all of it.
Right.
You said it. I'm an ad man through and through, man. You know, like I think.
Thoroughbred.
Hey, what's it about? Like thoroughly. And you know, like sometimes people treat advertising like a stopover. You know, like people treat like, you know, yeah. And then like I'll see myself in this game for like more than 3 years, bro. Then I'll like go make leather socks. But I'm one of those people that like I dig the game, you know, and with all its bullshit. But I guess that's also why I'm dedicated to making sure that the bullshit gets eradicated. But let me tell you about pitching though, like pitching to clients. There's an adrenaline that comes with that shit that is second to none. There's an adrenaline that comes with even being in the process of creating the pitch work and all that you get, you literally become addicted to. You know, and I think I might be addicted to that shit. You know, like those people. I'm one of those people when people say we need you to work on a pitch, I make the face like I don't like it. You know, oh man, I can't believe another pitch. Inside I'm going, oh, here we go again. Yeah, and I know it's not like it's not the popular opinion. You know,
you're that guy who like, oh, I didn't do well in that exam.
Yeah,
I didn't do well in that exam. No, but I killed it.
I was never those kids
you're
in school.
You're that guy.
Only
in advertising,
only
you're
with
that
English
guy.
And Afrikaans. Only thing with English and Afrikaans. No, well, yeah, well, one or two others. But now in advertising, I'm that guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've
grown into that asshole. Yeah, so I'm one of those people that when people say, so who wants to work on a pitch? I look around, and because I don't think it's proper etiquette to put your hand up, right? But yeah, I mean, I'm addicted to that shit. I love it. I love it completely. Thanks for that, for the question, Afroscribe.
Beautiful. I want to know, so when you were like a little G on
yeah.
the fire,
yeah.
what was your thing? Just, you know what I mean? What not to make in your hood? You know, like, yes. to make a party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what was your thing? Soccer.
Ooh, it depends on how old you're talking.
Okay.
Look, I was always ashy as fuck. You know?
Which is a good sign of childhood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people, it depends who you ask. Some of that still creeps up every now and then, but but yeah, I was always dusty and ashy as fuck because I was always playing soccer, always. You know that part in the, you know, there are seasons in the hood.
Yeah.
There's like kite season and there's marble season, there's top season. Like those seasons used to irritate the fuck out of me because they used to get in the way. Because they get in the way, you know. So all the guys were like, "Skilly bone." Every now and then, but I read Tandy Trans and like, ah, fuck. Here we go with this shit again, getting in the way. So every time, like, you know, we go through the seasons and it's like, it's windy, let's go make kites. I'm like, oh, fucking hell. I can't believe we're doing this shit. You know, and then, but then I'd always bring it up, you know, and then like in between, I'd be like, you know what would be dope though? If we all just went and played soccer, wouldn't that be nice?
No problem.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, man, I was always playing soccer in the hood. But yeah, I think it keeps you sane, you know. Like I think I got my 10,000 hours at soccer long time ago. Yeah, so I mean the PSL guys, I see Nombete still scoring at 40. You know, call a brother up. You know, in between pitches, I can be on the field.
Holla, holla, Black. Holla at Blacksem.
That's right. Yeah? That's at Blacksem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter. That's what's up.
Okay. Now we are on I.
Yeah.
Influences marketing. What do you think of that? I mean, like, you have body bloggers, body vloggers, body slay queens.
Yeah.
Is that an era, or is this something that's really, that you think is going to go somewhere in the future?
I think that, you know, those things are, it's hard to tell, it's always hard to tell what's going to exist in the future.
Right.
You know, I actually read a thing the other day that was an article in the New York Times in the 20s where they said TV was never going to take off.
Yes.
Because why would anybody want to stare at a screen the whole day, right? And then fast forward to where we are right now, and it's all we do. We just we're actually creating more screens because we want to stare at that many screens. So it's hard to tell like what's going to pop off and what's not. It's always going to depend on the developments in that space. Influencers and bloggers and all that in the past 2 years have been a huge thing, and you can't ignore them, you know. And and they've come to command a certain level of respect in how brands are doing or in what brands want to do. You know, they're like what research houses used to be, you know.
In essence,
you know what I mean. In essence, it's just like, you know, we can do what feels like the real version of research and just kind of go, okay, Lerato, we need you to go and go to Shesha and hang out there and just tell us what you know what I mean. And
so it's a real life
version of that, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't beat that. It's very hard to beat authenticity, but then when things like paid Twitter come along, then authenticity gets lost. You know when your homie with dreadlocks starts talking about what it's like to put Vaseline in the cheese cup, you know, then it's like, my man, come on! I know somebody just transferred some money to your account. You know what I mean? But there are a lot of cats out there that are doing a lot of great things in that space. Mm. You know, like shout out to the homies at Book of Swag. What's going on, homies? What's cutting? Because in my time around them, I got to learn a lot in that space, and I actually got to see how organic this shit can be. Because I feel like that's where the reality of it lives. You know, in how organic it is. Once it starts feeling like a setup, you know, then none of us, all of us just go, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the thing of like brand ambassadors and all that shit, it's existed for a long time, right? Until you're watching Generations and then doing a pep thing on Generations, and you're like, there's no way you, Queen Moroka, are rocking Pep store clothes. You know what I mean? So somebody was just not spending enough time thinking about the content. And now I feel like bloggers and influencers are matched to things better and. So it's hard to tell whether it's going to be a trend going forward, but I do think that there's a lot of love for it and a lot of life for it right now.
Yes, like the brand of the rise of the personal brand is where it's going right now.
I mean Maps, for example. You know, I dig the dude, but like, you know, what does he do? I'll tell you what he does. He does well. You know what I mean? Because he does everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But and what it does is that it's amassed him into this brand that people can trust. You know, he's the Will Smith.
He
you know
is
what I mean?
Kind of like the Will Smith.
He's the Will Smith. You know, it makes white people feel like everything's going to be okay. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Celebrity royalty.
Yeah, and white folk just kind of go, no, it's fine. Just get Maps, bro.
Yeah,
and everything should be fine. So everything from razors to DVDs, and he'll be okay, you know? I was saying the other day, it's amazing how Will Smith, if you watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that Will Smith has actually turned into Carlton, right? Because remember, Will in the show was always the guy that made people nervous,
yes,
right? And
yes.
Carlton was the guy that white people always thought, that's our guy.
Now he's
Carlton. Anyways, but we digress.
That's hilarious. Okay, cool. I want to skip Jay.
Yeah, why?
Just cause. Oh, okay. Let me go with Jay.
Am I gonna regret this?
No, you're not gonna regret this. Okay, so we are seeing the rise of the joint ECD.
Right.
This is the thing that you're into now,
yeah,
right? So I feel like it's sort of like a cop out. It's kind of like half stepping on the transition.
Right.
Or they don't really want to. Do you know what I mean? Say what it is that they want.
Right.
So they'd rather have two people. Two people is also good because it's two. Two heads are better than one.
Yeah.
But do you think it's a cop out, or do you think this is where we should be?
So, a long, long time ago, not very, very long time ago, when I was at FCB, there was a time when we had three.
What?
Right? And everyone did that. Everyone had that same reaction. Everyone was just like, what the fuck? What do you mean three ECDs? Mm. And at that time in the agency, I think we had FNB, we had Vodacom, we had Toyota, we had a lot of big clients, and we had a lot of, like, you know, and then we had some Tiger brands, you know what I mean? So like It was big.
Mm.
And there are pros and cons to it, essentially, is what I'm saying. But the guys had to divvy up, heading up those things in such a way that it made sure that they were getting, you were getting excellence throughout all that stuff, and that one person was not spread too thin in making, in guaranteeing that excellence.
Mm.
So the idea of the joint ECD for me, it makes sense.
Mm.
But also, I mean, it's also a sign of the times, because back in the day, you would actually have CDs making sure that the quality control is
right. What
it is, and then there'd be one guy at the top. So the pros and cons to it, but I do, it's not as shocking to me, because I feel like I've experienced that before, and, mm. and I feel like the needs have become so plentiful.
Mm.
You just spoke about digital. I mean, digital is it's still just a medium, but it's a monster on its own, you know. And you kind of need that excellence to kind of filter through the system in such a way that you guarantee in quality control.
Right.
So and I'm not saying that there's no place for the single ECD. I think that's still a thing, because I still think that, you know, the leadership of a place is how kind of determines the quality of the work and the personality of the work
right.
that you do, and I think that, you know, one day when I'm big, I'll probably be sole ECD somewhere, but for now I feel like it's perfect, and for the person that I am and where I am right now in kind of still learning what I said I want to learn,
mm.
I'm cool with it. I'm okay yeah. with that. And who shout out to all the other co ECDs out there. The struggle is real. We need to start a stockfell. Let us meet every Tuesday. At the Jolly Roger.
So can I ask, is the salary cut in half too? I mean, like, it's two of you, one job. I mean, like,
is this still on Jay or
okay, okay, okay. Now we on Kay. It used to be Gamo, Marcus and Grant.
You shout out to Marcus. What's going on, fellas? What's cutting? What's cutting?
What's up with that?
Oh, that's
where
dope.
You all at?
Oh, that's dope.
Love you guys.
So Marcus and Gamu are running Accomplice. Mm-hmm. You shout out Accomplice. What's going on? They're doing big things. And they've been on the show. Marcus wasn't here, but Gamu has been on the show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, we're still really, really tight. Yeah, I mean, it still is that.
Mm.
You'll probably still see us together every now and then having a young beverage and a very deep conversation.
Nice.
And now, you know, over and above doing Accomplice, they still do kind of dabble in ad work. And they happen to be in the building at the MNC right now.
Oh.
MNC Saatchi, shout out to the guys at MNC Saatchi Able as well. So they happen to be in the building working on one or two projects. And so I get to see them more often now.
Yeah.
So you know, I find myself having lunch with them and talking shit and laughing loudly. So yeah, man. So yeah, I still see them cats.
Hi. Alpha Lurie's.
Which part of the Lurie's?
Okay,
the Lurie's is an institution.
Yes. Okay, two parts. Do you think the Lurie's are helping in the significance of transformation? And also, two, what is your crazy Lurie story? Because everybody got one.
Okay. I'm gonna sift through that and tell you the safest one. But I'll tell you what. I think that the Lurie's have taken great strides
right.
in helping themselves understand transformation.
Mm.
You know, there's only so much they can do as a body, but a lot of stuff is work that needs to be done by agencies, you know. But I think that, like, looking inward, you know, there's some work that we did with the Lurie's last year, because there was time when they were media partners and then they weren't, and then, oh, got controversial, but mm. I was in the middle of that. But I feel like, you know, with things like the scholarships that the Lurie's gives, and there's a Lurie's traveling exhibition that
oh,
they go to the schools, and it actually travels around the continent as well. Like, I think that they've taken great big strides, and huge congratulations to the guys at the Lurie's for kind of acknowledging the need, right? There was a controversial thing called the New Voice Award that they started because you know, just kind of going, let's give legit VNAC work the chance to win. You know, it was cool at first, and then we also kind of realized that maybe it shouldn't be a subcategory, because it should all be running in the same in the same stuff. You know, it should be competing against the
videos,
against the 90-second Virgin Atlantic TV ads or radio ads, sorry. And that has slowly become a thing because the Lurie's are, I feel like, are progressive enough in that space. So huge congratulations to everybody who works on that and works in that space, because I feel like they've done their bit. The rest of it is gonna be done by agencies.
Yeah.
People might just stop copying out and do the fucking right thing. Crazy Lurie stories.
Crazy Lurie stories.
Oh, there are just so many. But I'll tell you about my first Lurie's though. It was in Sun City.
Yeah. I never went to the Sun City one.
So Sun City was dope. I mean, I'm one of those people that, like, you know, if all else fails, guys, you know, let's just go back to those guys. You know what I mean? But I hear that there were a whole bunch of stories about why Sun City became risky. But let's leave that alone. So it was a banquet setting back in the day, right? So it wasn't this auditorium thing where you could just show up, you know, with I've seen cats, you know, people at the Lurie's show up with like a blazer and the shorts you were wearing earlier at the velocity party. You know what I mean? That shit you couldn't do. You couldn't do that shit at the Lurie's when it was at Sun City because it was a banquet. Right. You used to dress up. And for some reason, when I was still an intern, I got seated at the same table as Brett Morris and his wife and Mike Barnwell and his wife.
So now I'm
sitting, you know,
best
what I mean?
And
behavior. I'm sitting there and I'm this little intern sitting with like the ECD and you know, like this most senior art director in the office, you know what I mean? And all my friends are in the gallery. And others causing shit.
You
know? And now I've got shit envy. You know what I mean? and then Zola Kishabangu wins an award for China Low. I remember this very clearly. And he gets on stage and he tears that stage up. You know, there was a time when like they used to get some awkward person like Patricia Lewis to be on stage, and Z was just there causing shit. And I was like, damn it, I wanna be that guy. Yeah, and I guess that's always made me wanna be a part of the Lewis and get on stage and do crazy shit. Shout out to Z. What's going on, Papa?
Ziki feature Moshong.
Yeah,
exactly. I think he must just come. I think you're kind of
you should
like
just here. Get an office here.
Yeah, no, he must just couch here. All right, cool. Now I have a crazy Lurie story too.
Yeah, tell us. No, come on.
It involved me going from Camps Bay in a towel in a taxi.
What?
And getting back to the hotel.
When you say towel, just towel.
In a towel, literally, because I got wet at the beach and then somehow, never mind. Okay,
hey.
Moving right along.
Nothing wrong, Cape Town. Nothing wrong.
Crazy shit. We're on M.
Yeah.
Mobile in Africa.
Yeah.
How do you think we should be approaching mobile advertising right now?
Sure. I think
there's so much opportunity missed opportunities, especially because a lot of Africans don't have access to, you know, your laptops or whatever. So everything happens on your mobile. How are we taking advantage of this and progressing advertising in that space?
You know what I think we've done? I think that in that space, we kind of... we leapt all the way into digital and kind of figured that mobile also meant digital, you know, and then forgot that the fact that the things like USSD and all that
features,
stuff, like it's a whole thing on its own, you know. And then, you know, also like when some people also go into that space and they purport to have given people textbooks on a cell phone over USSD, giving people entire textbooks, then they kind of fuck it up for all of us, because everyone just says, yeah, that's a scam, man. Nobody would ever fucking do that. But seriously, I do think that it's a space that is underplayed. It is completely underplayed, and we're not innovating enough in that space, because I don't know because
and that's leaving a lot of the audience out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know, and like when you look at how, I mean, when I was in, I went to Tanzania and Kenya, and I saw how big M-Pesa is. Right, and all that's just mobile, really. Right, and how that platform on its own is completely misunderstood by us, or missed by us, because you know, we have such a big penetration of, I say penetration, a big penetration of that stuff is of see, you made me lose my train of thought. We have a big penetration of smartphones that we forgot about the USSD space and all the other spaces that exist in mobile, and we should be getting better at that.
We should, no?
Yeah,
I think, yeah, we'll be doing ourselves a favor and actually including a lot of people.
I agree completely.
No?
You're flying through this. I'm impressed, actually.
I'm gonna skip
I'm impressed with how well you're doing. No, you're doing pretty well. You really are.
Is it? Okay, cool. I'm gonna go to O, because N we didn't do fire. So right. O, out of the box thinking, what's giving you goosebumps right now on TV?
Sure. So like I said, I mean, I watch a lot of TV.
Right.
I watch a shitload of TV, but I'm always captured by the writing on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, like when shows just kind of, you know, you can tell the dialogue writers are kind of saying, you know, anybody else would have written it like this, but what if he says this and means exact same thing? That always gets me. Mm-hmm. And I was actually talking to her about it with Kamukhera and Marcus the other day. That show, This Is Us,
Really? Yes. I just started it the other day.
The writing is on another level. It is next level. And I think that, like, you know, whatever it is that's going on in Hollywood and or TV land, with TV series becoming slightly more celebrated than movies. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, whoa, that's crazy shit. And then there was another show called Little Big Lies.
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman, Zoe Kravitz.
There was Zoe Kravitz and there was Gratuitous Sex, but the writing was incredible, you know, and that gets me every time, you know, and you know what, I think there are a lot of dope shows locally as well that are on the come up, you know. I think
you could write a show.
I could. I really could, and it's one of the things that I'm thinking about. It stays there in the back of my mind. But I'll bring it up one day when I feel like I'm on the verge of a meltdown in advertising. When I take that sabbatical and I find a log cabin, and I find a sugar mommy, who's gonna pay my way for me to wear a robe.
Shout out to the sugar mommy.
What's up to the sugar mommy? Sugar mom's writing. What's going on? But I think that, like, there's quite a few local shows or local productions that are stepping it up, you know, like. I mean, like with soapies, like, it ebbs and flows, you know. But I think that like the guys who write on Isibaya can get really, really dope. Nice. You know, there's a mention of disbelief every now and then. Yeah, available to Balo every now and then. But I think some of the writing in there is really, really dope. You know, like, there's just the storyline and dialogue. I think
I think the most important thing is the fact that platforms have opened.
That's right.
So it's not as a elitist.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know, space as it used to be. I mean, like, you've got your Netflix. You've got TV stations like Abom Zansi and stuff like that. Yeah. So the opportunities to do that kind of writing.
And you know what as well?
And the internet.
And stand-up comedians. I think we forget that. I mean, like, guys like Loiso and Donovan and Napster and all those guys, they're writers. You know, and for me, I take inspiration from like quick turns of phrase, you know, like, and or just being able to, like, just kind of go, where's the story going, and then boom, you know, and it feels like we're surrounded by more of that shit, and it, like, we all have access to it. That's why we can't be shit writers. I don't know why. There's still shit writers out there.
Calling shit out writers, to all the shit they just writers. Called you out.
This is a message to all the shit writers.
All right, P. Print. Are we seeing the death of print?
Never.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it depends what you mean by that. You know, like if by print what? you mean like,
I mean,
the,
like,
stuff that's printed on a newspaper.
No. I mean, like, a beautiful print ad. Like, yep. I mean, this is where we cut our teeth. I remember writing print ads and a beautiful headline and just, you know what I mean? But now you're seeing social media kind of infringing on that traditional space. You know, a print ad is literally something that you see on social media, like a pop-up, a post or something like that, you know? So,
But that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, I feel like, you know, like we spoke about before, about the idea. Like, the idea of what it takes and the love, then the art direction pain that you have to put into making a print ad, it just lives on a digital screen now.
Yeah.
You know? So the same stuff applies.
But just,
you know, it just lives on your iPad. Who still has an iPad? I remember buying an iPad. What a scam. Biggest piece of shit.
If not, I still want an iPad.
For what? To do what?
With I don't
just,
know.
Just so you can watch porn on a bigger platform? That's
maybe
terrible. Our phones have become big enough for your porn to actually be the right size. So it's
who
actually
watches porn these days? I mean, you should be making your own. For radio ads. What's that thing that makes them so compelling still? Do you think we still have the standard?
Oh, we definitely do.
Yeah?
Shout out Mulifitulo. What's going on, brother? I think we definitely still do.
Yeah.
And shout out to the guys with the odd number as well.
Still doing
amazing radio. I think that maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's because we're, like, you know, we are storytellers, you know, and the need to be able to describe a situation really, really well is inherent in us. And I think that radio still, you know, my heart.
Club, I know your heart.
My heart club like chocolates, pump chocolates because of radio still because I still love it. I think that it still makes me feel like I'm a storyteller. You know what I mean? And we keep getting better and better at it. It's just, you know, sometimes that discrepancies when you look at the stuff that wins awards, and when you see that, you know, it's 2 minutes long and you're like, where did that fly? Anyway,
controversial.
Okay. I'm just saying that, you know, but I mean, we know how. I also have a thing about awards that it's fine. In that space, it's okay, you know. Let's stretch ourselves to kind of show, you know, let's flex our muscle in that space, and it doesn't have to be 60 seconds or 35. Let's make 2 minutes.
Why not?
You know what I mean? Because maybe just played on the internet.
Why
you know?
Not?
And then it's just content. That's the trick is don't call it a radio ad. Call it content.
Content.
Then you're good. The rise of digital is the rise of advertising, guys.
Yay. Come on. Okay. We're almost there. I think we've got like 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm going to go T for traffic. Which traffic ladies are your funniest? You know, traffic ladies can make or break your career. I'm just telling you guys now, like you little interns out there, don't mess with the traffic lady.
Traffic ladies are the backbone of, I promise you, they're the backbone of agencies. If you're gonna
don't celebrate traffic ladies. Yeah,
if you've got shit traffic, right, your whole thing is fucked up, right? People are just going to go, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll send it tomorrow, and then you're fucked. So, and I've had quite a few in my time. I don't want to say any names and forget some names and get in trouble, because when you're in trouble, traffic ladies, you're in trouble. You know what I mean? That's when you just do things on squeeze bags. You know what I mean? That when you're supposed to get the good brief, they're just like, no, he's busy. Just give him squeeze bags.
Once you're on squeeze bag land, there's no turning back.
Like I said, guys, we're advocating for the squeeze bag awards. I'm just looking for a sponsor. But very soon, guys, the things that Squeeze Back Awards will be right here on cliffcentral.com. Jim and the Edman, all the way.
Okay, you. Unionizing. This is a contentious subject nobody ever wants to touch in advertising.
Yeah.
Why don't we unionize? Why don't we have representation in that way? Because we are a force to be reckoned with. What's going on?
Sure. That's a very tough question. It's very tough. And I think that's a whole show on its own.
Nah.
And you know, like, there's going to be some new developments I actually can't talk about yet. Mm-hmm. Where we actually are going to have a series of conversations about that. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's very easy as a conversation on one side, but it's very complex on the other side.
Right.
But I feel like it should be easier. It should be much easier. It should be much easier. But yeah, I'm going to leave it for now. But I do think that there's developments coming.
We're running out of time.
You know that, right?
But we're ready at you. Okay, you. V, voice over crush. Whose voice do you really like on the radio?
Voice over crush.
It could be a man too, you know? Like, men have great voices.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what? You know what? If you've ever been to the Lurie's, I mean, everybody wants to be a superior goes. Right? Everybody wants to be the guy who says, and the gold Lurie goes to. You know what I mean? And then after that, he's doing like, he does all brands. His voice can fit pretty much anything.
True.
He can sell you Dettol today, sell you condoms, sell you road safety, and then announce your silver Lurie. I mean, what do you want?
What do
you want?
That's your voice.
No, I mean, if I could be a voice artist right now. And also, I mean, I know the kind of bank he must be making.
Those people make so much money.
Exactly.
I mean, and he could kill it in like 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Done.
And that's it, right? When you see them walk into the studio, do two takes.
Dude.
And you're like, I'm sure I should ask this guy for something else. You know what I mean? But he's done. But I mean, there's a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch of these professionals out there. Sam Kosi, you know, like the veterans. You know,
treasure
Shabalala.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From Sunshine Tea ads back in the day when we were kids. You know what I mean? Do you ever think about the word Sunshine Tea? So no, let's leave it.
Okay. Water crisis. No. We're not gonna do water crisis.
Yeah.
So do you have any? If this is X now. Yeah. Do you have any exes who left you because of advertising? You know, so demanding on the ladies. You know, you can't give them the time that they want and shit.
Huh? Really? Really? No, not directly because of it. Because I think that my love for... Because
it is a demanding industry, you know what I mean? Let's be real about it.
But my love for it is always clear from the get-go.
So they can't even compete.
I always express it from the get-go. So like as soon as people get surprised by that, then I'm like, oh, Mari, no, Mara. You've been knowing, Jorge. You know, main chicken man.
So when, oh shit, I know, right? Grant. Okay, ladies. So if you're looking for grant love, honey, it's on. You know, another timesheet for when, baby. Basically, that's what he's saying.
But I'm evolving into a better man, I hope.
Yeah, I hear so. Why? I don't have a why, but Zed. This is the last one, and we've got like 4 minutes. So Zed is ZCC, one of the most influential bodies. Money, dance moves, patriarchy, snave, Vaseline brands, everything. They got it going on. Like, this brand is making moves. Why don't we use this as a model? Or can we see this as a model for advertising? They've got everything going on. Their brand
doing everything in-house?
Yeah.
Look,
I think as a brand, just look at it as a brand.
Yeah, I think as a
brand. Don't you think that's a strong brand?
No, I agree completely. It's one of the strongest brands on this continent, actually.
Right.
Kind of taking over like Southern Africa, like a Morpho. I don't think you can say Zesty and Morpho in the same sentence. but I think that it's dope, and I think brands have tried to attach themselves to them as well. Mm. I remember when I worked on Vodacom, there was a Zoc starter pack. ZCC, Orlando Pirates, and Kaizer Chiefs starter pack.
Why? That's a mess.
To kind of tap into, chances are somebody who goes to ZCC is also a fan of either Orlando Pirates or Kaizer Chiefs. So needs a cell phone. So the line was not tenuous at all. It makes perfect sense. But then it's just like, eish, I'm gonna leave us in here. So like there's a whole bunch of other things that like. I think that what they've done from a branding perspective.
Yes, from a 100%. Branding perspective, as you see.
They should get a Luri even. I don't know why we haven't given them a Luri. Oh, but they've got that Luri on their chair. So I think what we have to do is we have to make sure that we take from them what the branding.
The best lessons of branding, right?
Lerato, the hour's done. I'm having to stop you.
I can't believe we did it.
That was it. Thank you so much. Lerato, you did this. You did this. You know what? You're gonna get all of them all at once.
Yeah!
Thank you so, so much.
I think you said everything.
I said a shitload of things. Right? Okay, but it's time now. I really have to wrap this up. Once again, guys, thank you. Thanks a lot for coming through to the stew.
It's a pleasure.
It's been another dope week of advertising. I can't say much more. I think I've spoken so much. But yeah, once again, remember, take care of yourself, take care of those briefs, and take care of each other, because it gets really messy out there. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man, the Ad-Man, and Lerato Makane. What's up, boy?
Yeah.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the Ad-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.